H5N1, or bird flu, not only is decimating poultry flocks and wild birds in the U.S., but also affecting mammals, such as bears, skunks and seals, at a rate not previously seen, and this latest development has scientists worried. What does it mean if it jumps to humans? This analysis by Dr. Joseph Mercola has been fact-checked. Bird flu scare narrative ramps up. Story at a glance. Considering global biosecurity is one of the primary tactics chosen to usher in a totalitarian one-world government, it's clear that more pandemics are in our future, and a weaponized bird flu seems likely. Historically, natural avian influenza, H5N1, never posed a threat to mankind, but scientists have created a hybrid with human pandemic potential. If we do end up with a lethal human bird flu, there's every reason to suspect it was man-made. There's also every reason to suspect a bird flu vaccine will be either ineffective, hazardous, or both. H5N1, bird flu, is now affecting mammals at a rate not previously seen, including skunks, bears, seals, foxes, minks, and even dolphins. The infection is also spreading between mammals. This is a new development that has scientists worried. If the virus is mutating, or being mutated, to spread among mammals, the jump to humans may not be far behind. Already, the US and other countries are stockpiling H5N1 vaccine, just in case. While some traditional vaccines are in the lineup, mRNA shots tweaked to target H5N1 are also being planned, and they probably won't need to undergo additional testing over and beyond what was done for the COVID jabs. Bird flu has always been a fraud, which is why I wrote my New York Times best-selling book, The Great Bird Flu Hoax, nearly 15 years ago. President George Bush spent over $7 billion and warned that more than 2 million Americans could die. Point 1. The reality is that no one in the U.S. died from bird flu. Fast forward 15 years, and now global biosecurity is one of the primary tactics chosen to usher in a totalitarian one-world government, so more pandemics are undoubtedly in our future. In the spring of 2022, Bill Gates warned that another pandemic will emerge, and that this yet-to-come pandemic will get attention this time, too. Based on the news chatter emerging right now, a weaponized bird flu seems likely. In a March 30, 2022, CenterPoint interview, former director for the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Dr. Robert Redfield, more than hinted at this possibility, saying, 3. I believe the great pandemic is still in the future, and that's going to be a bird flu pandemic for man. It's going to have significant mortality in the 10-50% range. It's gonna be trouble. Avian flu posed no threat until scientists weaponized it. Historically, natural avian influenza, H5N1, never posed a threat to mankind, but then scientists started tinkering with it, creating a hybrid with human pandemic potential. Point 4. Some of that research has been undertaken in Pentagon-funded biolabs in Ukraine. Point 5, 6, 7. Gates and Dr. Anthony Fauci, former director of the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, have also funded gain-of-function research on hydrogen nitride 1.8. One scientist whose work on hydrogen nitride has been funded by both Fauci and Gates is Dr. Yoshihiro Kuoka. Point 9. In one experiment, Kuoka mixed bird flu virus with the Spanish flu virus, resulting in a highly lethal respiratory virus with human transmission capability. Kuoka has also played around with mixtures of H5N1 and the 2009 H1N1, swine flu, virus, creating an airborne hybrid 10.11.12 capable of evading the human immune system, effectively rendering humans defenseless against it. 13. And this extremely risky research was done at a biosafety level 2 lab. 1.4. The bird flu has been manipulated and tinkered with in a variety of different ways, making it both airborne, which it was not initially, and capable of cross-species infection. Fauci also funded the work of virologist Ron Fauchier, a Dutch researcher whose team created an airborne version of the bird flu using a combination of genetic engineering and serial infection of ferrets. 0.15. So, the bird flu has been manipulated and tinkered with in a variety of different ways, making it both airborne, which it was not initially, and capable of cross-species infection. In 2012, the work of Kuoka and Fauchier sparked widespread concern about gain-of-function research, as it was readily recognized that it could accidentally cause a human pandemic. 0.16.17. As a result, the U.S. government issued a temporary ban on gain-of-function research on certain viruses in 2014, which remained in place until December 2017. 0.18. We now know this ban was circumvented by Fauci, who continued to fund gain-of-function research on coronaviruses in China during those years. It now looks as though weaponized bird flu might eventually be released to achieve the geopolitical aims of the technocratic cabal that is trying to give the World Health Organization a monopoly on pandemic decision-making. Bird flu is widespread among poultry and wild birds 19. In the US, 20, but the natural virus is not very transmissible or lethal to humans. So, if we do end up with a lethal human bird flu, there's every reason to suspect it was man-made. There's also every reason to suspect a bird flu vaccine will be either ineffective, hazardous, or both. Bird flu has spread to mammals. According to a February 9, 2023, ABC News report, 21. H5N1, bird flu, is also affecting mammals at a rate not previously seen, including skunks, bears, seals, foxes, minks, and even dolphins. University of Massachusetts Boston virologist Nicola Hill told ABC News. The size, range, and number of species affected by this outbreak is unprecedented. That's not really how bird flu should behave. While sporadic infections among mammals have been reported for 20 years, the virus now appears to be spreading between mammals, as opposed to being limited to individual mammals being infected from eating an infected bird. This is a brand new development that has scientists worried. If the virus is mutating, or being mutated, to spread among mammals, the jump to humans may not be far behind. Are humans next? In 2022, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's Influenza Division tracked more than 50 human avian influenza cases in 7 countries and, while extremely rare, the CDC does anticipate more infections to occur. As noted in its March 17, 2023, H5N1 update, 22. To date, HPAI, highly pathogenic avian influenza, A, H5N1, viruses currently circulating in birds and poultry, with spillover to mammals, and those that have caused human infections do not have the ability to easily bind to receptors that predominate in the human upper respiratory tract. Therefore, the current risk to the public from HPAIA, H5N1, viruses remains low. However, because of the potential for influenza viruses to rapidly evolve and the wide global prevalence of HPAIA, H5N1, viruses in wild birds and poultry outbreaks, continued sporadic human infections are anticipated. Continued comprehensive surveillance of these viruses in wild birds, poultry, mammals, and people worldwide, and frequent reassessments are critical to determine the public health risk, along with ongoing preparedness efforts. Canadian experts also fear the bird flu's current momentum has the potential to become a human pandemic. As reported by Global News March 25, 2023, 23. The current outbreak circulating North and South America is known as H5N1 clade 2.3.4.4b. It has killed record numbers of birds and infected mammals. Although human cases remain rare, Cheyenne Sharif, a professor and associate dean with the Ontario Veterinary College, warned the virus as gathering momentum and becoming more of a human threat. Various pieces of the puzzle are coming together for this virus to become transmissible among humans, he told Global News. This particular virus has the potential to become a pandemic virus, and if it does, then we have to be absolutely ready because the fatality rate of this virus could be far greater than what we saw for COVID-19. Current bird flu countermeasures are the wrong approach. Just as we've seen with the COVID pandemic, health authorities insist there's only one solution to bird flu epidemics, and that is vaccination. Meanwhile, that strategy is making the situation worse. By culling all chickens whenever a single case is detected basically guarantees that natural immunity will never develop. A far saner strategy would be to eliminate the chickens that die from the infection but keep those who survive it alive. An interesting article by regenerative farmer Joel Salatin, in which he discusses the bird flu cycle, was published by Brownstone Institute in mid-March 2023-24. If thinking people learned only one thing from the COVID pandemic, it was that official government narratives are politically slanted and often untrue. In this latest HPAI outbreak, perhaps the most egregious departure from truth is the notion that the birds have died as a result of the disease and that euthanasia for survivors is the best and only option. To be sure, HPAI is and can be deadly, but it never kills everything. The policy of mass extermination without regard to immunity, without even researching why some birds flourish while all around are dying, is insane. The most fundamental principles of animal husbandry and breeding demand that farmers select for healthy immune systems. We farmers have been doing that for millennia. but in its wisdom, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA, USDA, has no interest in selecting, protecting, and then propagating the healthy survivors. The policy is clear and simple. Kill everything that ever contacted the diseased birds. The second part of the policy is also simple. Find a vaccine to stop HPAI. The scorched earth policy is the only option, even though it doesn't seem to be working. In fact, the cycles are coming faster and seem to be affecting more birds. Someone ought to question the efficacy. Bird flu solutions that make sense. As noted by Saladin, it's well recognized among farmers that cramped quarters and having too many chicken farms too close together, geographically, is the problem. The USDA and the industry desperately want to blame wild birds, backyard flocks, and dirty shoes rather than looking in the mirror and realizing this is nature's way of screaming, enough. Saladin writes, the answer is relatively simple. Save birds that survive the infection and breed them. That way, future generations will have natural immunity. If a flock gets HPAI, let it run its course. It'll kill the ones it'll kill, but in a few days the survivors will be obvious. Keep those and put them in a breeding program, Saladin writes. Secondly, chicken farmers can also ward off epidemics by focusing on optimal herd sizes. For example, wild turkeys stay in flocks of no more than a couple of hundred. Wild pigs rarely exceed groups of 100. For chickens, optimal herd size is about 1,000, according to Saladin. He goes on to explain, an elderly poultry industry scientist visited our farm once and told me that if houses would break up chickens into 1,000 bird groups, it would virtually eliminate diseases. He said it was okay to have 10,000 birds in a house as long as they were in 1,000 bird units. That way their social structure can function in a natural interaction. Animals have a hierarchy of bullies and timids. That social structure breaks down above optimal size. While I don't want to sound flippant or above HPAI susceptibility, incident rates definitely indicate less vulnerability in well-managed pastured flocks. Creating an immune-building protocol surely merits research as much as overriding the immune system with vaccines and trying to stay ahead of disease mutations and adaptations with human cleverness. How about humbly seeking nature for solutions rather than relying on hubris? The parallels between HPAI expert orthodoxy and COVID orthodoxy are too numerous to mention. The HPAI worry feeds food worry, which makes people clamor for government security. People will accept just about anything if they're afraid. Think it through and then embrace a more natural remedy, well-managed decentralized pastured poultry with appropriate flock sizes. Pay attention to upcoming narratives. As we move forward, keep an eye on the narratives we're being fed. Again, if bird flu becomes a human epidemic or pandemic, there are plenty of reasons to suspect it's a weaponized virus, and the solution offered will be the same as that for COVID-19, get vaccinated. Considering the widespread harm caused by the COVID-19 mRNA shots, can we really trust that fast-tracked bird flu shots will be any safer or more effective? Already, the US and other countries are stockpiling H5N1 vaccine 25. Just in case, which is telling. While some traditional vaccines are in the lineup, mRNA shots tweaked to target H5N1 are also being planned, and they probably won't need to undergo additional testing over and beyond what was already done for the COVID jabs. This even though recent attempts to make an mRNA-based influenza jab have met with failure. As reported by Reuters, 26, some of the world's leading makers of flu vaccines say they could make hundreds of millions of bird flu shots for humans within months if a new strain of avian influenza ever jumps across the species divide. In a pandemic, vaccine manufacturers would shift production of seasonal flu vaccines and instead make shots tailored to the new outbreak when needed. Many of the potential pandemic shots are pre-approved by regulators, based on data from human trials showing the vaccines are safe and prompt an immune response, a process already used with seasonal flu vaccines. This means they might not require further human trials, even if they have to be tweaked to better match whichever strain is jumped to humans. Data on how well the vaccines actually protect against infection would be gathered in real time. Experts have long advocated for new approaches in developing vaccines, both for seasonal and pandemic flu. COVID proved the potential of mRNA technology to adapt more quickly to changing viruses because the vaccines use genetic information from the pathogen, rather than having to grow the virus itself. Moderna's mRNA vaccine research actually began with pandemic flu, and was modified for COVID, said Raphael Nachbagauer, executive director of infectious diseases at Moderna. the company plans to launch a small human trial of an mRNA pandemic flu vaccine tailored to the new avian influenza subtype in the first half of 2023, he said, adding Moderna could respond very quickly in an outbreak scenario. The results will be closely watched, as the data on Moderna's seasonal flu candidate was mixed. To think that an mRNA-based jab against a weaponized bird flu will be any safer than the shots for COVID-19 would be naive in the extreme, if you ask me, yet you can be sure we'll be told otherwise, if bird flu does end up spreading among the human population. Be prepared. One of the best things I did in my youth was join the Boy Scouts. Their motto, "Be prepared," has been enormously useful my entire life. Well, it applies to bird flu as well. While we don't know for sure, as no studies have been done, it is highly likely that many of the same protocols used in early outpatient treatment of COVID will also work for bird flu, since they are both viral respiratory pathogens. As a first basic prevention step, optimize your vitamin D. The ideal range is between 60 nanograms per milliliter and 80 nanograms per milliliter. Be sure to measure it to confirm, as there is no way to know what your vitamin D level is without doing a blood test. Summer is nearly here, so ditch your oral vitamin supplement and strip off your clothes and get out in the sun around solar noon, which is 1 p.m. for most people in the U.S. To learn more, download my Vitamin D in the Prevention of COVID-19 report, available on stopcovidcold.com. In case you do get sick, I would strongly advise you to purchase a nebulizer so that you can nebulize hydrogen peroxide at first signs of symptoms. Just go to my BitChute channel and look for my peroxide videos. They have full instructions on how to do this. At present, the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, FLCCC, seems to have one of the best COVID treatment protocols. It's called iCare and can be downloaded from covid19criticalcare.com.27. They also have a treatment protocol for RSV and influenza. Print them out and make sure you have the basic supplements in your medicine cabinet. The bird flu has been manipulated and tinkered with in a variety of different ways, making it both airborne, which it was not initially, and capable of cross-species infection.